Hello, and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week, you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through meditations, readings, and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. I'm Susan Jane, the Intuitist, and I'll be your host for this Intuition and Spirituality series. Today is series 1.25, which is called Intuition in a Crisis Situation. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast for the last two sessions, I've been talking about a situation that I've been having at home under my own roof. Now, my partner's son has moved in. He's been here with us for a couple of weeks now. The intention for him to move in back home at 26 is because he has several drug habits. So he was moving back here in order to move into or go into detox and then into rehab. They were the rules, they were the conditions moving in. He was to be as clean as he can, go into detox and then into rehab. So he needed to book it up. We were told that he tried to book it up. There wasn't any spaces available until mid-October. So with that belief and understanding, he stayed on. Now, it was correct that there wasn't anything until mid-October, but the way the system works is that you've got to be constantly phoning and basically being a squeaky wheel so you can get in. The squeaky wheel gets in. Obviously, if they're squeaking enough, they really do want to get better. This particular young man wasn't squeaking at all. In fact, he was hiding it, so he was not in any frame of mind to go and get rehab or go and get a detox. So he's been playing my partner along all this time. Now, this is the crisis that we're going through at the moment, and it's on a day-to-day basis. It's under our own roof. It's the situation where do you kick him out onto the street where he's got nowhere to live? He was living with his girlfriend and their six-month-old baby and basically came to us. Now, yeah, my partner is going through this. What do I do? Do I kick him out on the street? Do I just leave him there or do I support him? So this is how we've been working the last couple of weeks. Now, usually I do my podcast, I actually record it on a Tuesday and prep it on the Wednesday because it can take a little while to prep and then have it scheduled for Thursday morning. Well, it's Thursday morning now and I'm only just starting to record it. So everything has been affected because of this. I haven't been in the right frame of mind to be talking to anyone, let alone, you know, on a podcast to anybody. And I won't do this unless I'm feeling like I'm giving you something to listen to. And there is a few that are going through a lot of people will be going through what I'm experiencing. And that is the reason why I'm talking about it. Otherwise, I certainly wouldn't be talking about it if it didn't help, if I didn't feel it was going to help anyway. So I'm talking about this crisis because of it's happening within me now. And there's been a few crises in my life, and I'm sure there's been many in yours. And the reason why I want to talk to you about it is the link to intuition and why I'm bringing it forward on a podcast about intuition. Now, the thing is that what I have found in all my crises and situations, there is a link to intuition. So this is what I want to help you with today. No matter what you're going through, there's always that ability for your intuition to help you. So at the moment, what I'm actually feeling is my partner, it basically all came to a head last night. And my partner said to him, he's got two choices. He can go on the road to recovery and we will support him, or he can go on the road back to his drug mates and basically you walk out the door. there is rules in this house, and these rules are very particular. You don't take drugs while you're in here. You don't have that sort of stuff here. So he just screamed back that he wants his independence. He wants to do what he wants to do. And so consequently, his choice was to go and live with his drug mates. It's not his choice. His choice is to stay here and do drugs. But that was not one of the options here. So he chose to go and live with his drug mates. And one of the things I said to my partner, I said, you've made it very, very clear about a decision he has to make. And intuition is all about decision making. So you've made it very, very clear he has a decision to make. He can go onto this path, and in which case you will support him, or he can go this way, in which case you won't support him, because any support that way is enabling. So he's got the decision to make, and his attitude is, I don't have to make a decision. Well, if you want to live under this roof, you needed to make that decision. He chose not to, and the garage door went down with him on the outside and us on the inside. So the link between this and intuition, and my partner at like last night went so quiet because he went internal. He had to internalize it. That's how he does it. That's how I do it. I internalize. So his intuition was just dragging him back in and going, you need to get an understanding of this in your own mind, in your own space. You need to get an understanding of it. When the garage door went down, he came up, he had a shower, and he said, I'm going for a walk. And he went off for a walk. Now, this is how he is dealing with it. This is how he's dealing with his crises. There's some people that will yell, scream, throw things. That's how they deal with their crises. And if you're dealing with it intuitively, you will go in and you will try and understand what it means to you within. At the moment, because my partner's gone within, he's not talking to anyone, not talking to me either. So I'm feeling a little bit shut down and unsure of what to do. So how I'm really feeling, I want to do exactly that. I want to throw things. I want to scream. I want to yell. I want to say to him, what's going on? Let me know. Because that's how I'm feeling. When I go within, when I start to think about it a little bit deeper, that's the last thing he needs. He's coping with so much already. That's the last thing he needs. The last thing he needs is my irrational thoughts and behaviors as well. The last thing he needs is my ego wanting to know what's going on. I need to be clever about this. I need to be intuitive about this. I need to see what is best for him and for the situation. So when we look at intuition and we look at ego, ego is going to feel things. Ego is your physical side. So intuition is your spiritual side. So when we look at a scenario that's happening, ego will take off first. That's like the fight and flight response. The intuition is like the think about it response. Let it settle. Let it sit for a bit. Let's get a real understanding of it. Me wanting to scream and yell and go, what's happening in my world, is very, very ego-based. And it's ego-based because that's often our first response or first reaction that we get. When somebody hurts you, whether it's physically or emotionally, you will want to respond back. Now, it is that response that will either come from the ego, which could be more of the physical nature, where you want to hurt you, whether you hurt verbally, whether you hurt emotionally, whether you hurt physically, it doesn't matter. But the ego will want to hurt, will want to strike back, will want to hurt back, because they're hurting. The intuition will go in a bit deeper. So, intuition's coming from our spirit, and our spirit's within us. If you can imagine an energy wave or an energy level, it even though our spirit is part of our external energy field, I tend to look at it more as an internal aspect. So yes, it is external, but when I look at it as an internal aspect, it makes more sense to me. So if you can imagine an energy wave coming at you, whether it's a verbal abuse, a physical abuse, whatever it is coming at you, you're going to feel, the ego is going to feel at first, the physical aspect, the skin, the outside, you're going to see it. It's all going to happen physically first. And then you will either respond from there, which is your ego, or you will absorb it, understand it, see what it means to you, see what it means to your spirit, and then respond intuitively, not egotistically. And it's not, how can I explain this? Sometimes we need to respond egotistically. Sometimes we need to defend ourselves physically at the beginning. And if that's the case, you will intuitively know that straight away. But often when it's more about, say, the situation that's happening around us, where is that bit more of a long-term permeating of all this negative energy, often that's more of a short-term thing a long-term thing. And you need to sit with it. You need to get that understanding. Again, I just want to yell and scream. I just want to tell this man to go because he's just driving this whole family mad. But that's not going to help my partner in the long run. I can see him, my partner, on the brink now of a breakdown because of the situation. So it's not about me telling him what to do and how to do it, because all that's going to do is push him further because he's trying to appease everybody. What I need to do is stand back and let him deal with it the best way he can and support him the best way I can. And if it means supporting him by bringing him a cup of coffee, by cleaning the house, by doing a load of washing, by having a nice dinner ready for him when he gets home from work, I know that sounds so domesticated and so anti-feminist and everything else. But the reality is I am quite a feminist. But I know that that's what he intuitively needs. I know he's not looking after himself. I know I need to step up and help him look after himself, whether it's a walk to debrief as soon as he gets home, which is what we've been doing lately, or it's just a nice sit down. Hey, if it's a glass of wine, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's what I am feeling intuitively that I believe I can help and support him with. So when we're looking at intuition, if we look at it in that aspect, and I know the spirit isn't just within the physical aspect, but when we're looking at that energy and how to deal with it, sure, the spirit will feel it external of the body. The ego will feel it next as it hits the body, but the soul is where you're going to, that spirit within you, the soul within you, is where you're going to get the information to respond correctly for it. So when we're in a crisis situation, you know, if we can give ourselves a bit of time to, a bit of time to be able to go within and then find a better answer or find the right answer where you sort of know, you just know that's what I need to do. As hard as it is for me to not say anything, I'm a life coach. I've done so much counselling. I've got such an understanding of it. I can see what he's going through. I went through all this with my stepdaughter who had depression and had a drug addiction. I went through it all with her. So I understand what he's going through. I can feel what he's going through. I know it. But we all deal with it differently, and he needs to deal with it however he deals with it. One of the other aspects I had when I was going through my marriage breakdown, and I see that it was an emotionally crisis situation. One of the aspects I looked at there was I needed to make sure, before I left that marriage, I needed to make sure that I had done everything I could possibly do to keep that marriage together. I did not want to leave that marriage. As bad and as emotionally abused as I was, my goal wasn't to leave the marriage. My goal was to make that marriage work. I just couldn't do it. And why I knew I couldn't do it was because I had tried everything. I had tried one person said to one, it was, I think, a counsellor or something, said to me, well, what are you cooking him for dinner? And I went, oh, regular meals, you know, I've got three babies at home, three little ones at home. I'm cooking regular meals. But he phones up from the pub and says, you know, what's for dinner? And if he doesn't like it, he eats at the pub. And I, at one stage, had three meals sitting in the fridge waiting for him to come home. Well, can you make something better? Well, I don't get any money. I have to ask him for money, and I have to write down all the things that I need at the shops, and I only shop every 4 to 6 weeks. So I don't have a lot of time to be cooking very fancy three-course meals, especially when he doesn't come home. Well, could you dress a little bit tidier so he wants to come home to you? And I'm thinking, he married me. Doesn't he want to come home to me? And I even tried that. I tried dressing. I tried putting makeup on. I tried looking tidy to give him someone to come home, someone pretty and nice to come home to. I had the house tidy. I was stressed to the max trying to keep the house tidy with three kids. And I would cook dinners. And again, they sat in the fridge day after day. And I did all that. So anytime anybody gave me information that I could improve my marriage on, I did it. I tried everything. I went through all the books. I did counselling. In the end, I said to him, I need to go to a marriage guidance counsellor. Let's do that. In the very, very end of the relationship, I thought, this is my final straw. I will pay for somebody to get this marriage back together, to get it how it was. I will pay someone to help me. And again, I'd only just started working then, and part-time in a pharmacy, so I was willing to do that. That's how strong I wanted to keep my marriage together. That's how much it was affecting me. By then, the kids were teenagers. So I booked up to do my... He agreed, we'll do a marriage guidance council. Booked up, and he refused to go. So I went on my own. And talked to the fellow there, and, you know, it was all really interesting. And I sort of got a bit of an understanding of it. Booked up again. And I said, look, no, you couldn't make it this time. I booked up again. He just didn't turn up. He stayed at the pub. He had no intention of going. And it's a bit like this young man at the moment. He has no intention of going to rehab and getting sorted. He hasn't hit his rock bottom. The third time I went to the marriage guidance counsellor on my own, he said to me, you are aware this is marriage guidance and you need two people in a marriage. Because the first time he said to me, what do you want to do? I can help you leave the marriage or I can help you retain the marriage, you know, like keep the marriage together. And I said, I want to keep the marriage together. Well, by the third visit, he said, you know, you are supposed to have two people in a marriage. What's going on? And that's when I knew I had tried everything. I knew I could not do any more than I had done all those years and years and years of trying to keep this relationship together for the sake of the children, for the sake of, you know, life. I didn't know life any other way. I tried to keep that marriage together. And it wasn't until he said that, and I went home and I had a big think about it, and I went, and I really, my intuition knew from the word go, but the ego needed to do it. Like, the whole idea of keeping that sort of a marriage together was really, really ego-based. There was a lot about the kids, but once it got to that age, once they got to the teenager's age and they were moving out, then it was no longer that to look good for the kids or to help the kids. It was then all about how I was feeling, because I looked at it and remember thinking, well, the kids are going to grow up. Well, the kids are growing up. They're going to be leaving home. What have I got after that? What is there? A man that doesn't really want to be with me. A man that doesn't really want to make an effort to have a relationship. There was just no future. There was just no way through it. And it was all during that time that I was doing my meditation. I was doing my life coaching and getting that understanding. So I did get the understanding that way. But again, I needed to feel it. I needed to experience it. I needed to get that understanding in a physical sense, not just intuitively. Why? Who knows? Maybe it's to do this podcast. Have no idea. One of the things I did do to get through it. And as I was saying, it was that link to the intuition. So I did get through it. I did get that clear understanding because I was doing the meditation. I was getting that understanding through the meditation. That was my time to go within, my time to really connect with myself. If I hadn't have done that, I probably would have still been with him. I really don't know. The thought of it, no, let's not go there. but yeah, that was how I did it. We're going in and finding out how I was really feeling. And with, I don't know about you, but when you're a mum, when you're trying to do all these things and you're balancing all these things, and I imagine it would be hard for a dad as well, but when you're a mum and you're trying to balance all these things, being an empath that I am, I was trying to please everybody. I was trying to live my life to please everybody. When I started to do the meditations, I started to understand that I needed to please myself as well. Now, the meditations, all they were was the pleasing of myself, was all it was giving myself that time and space to actually sit down and meditate. It wasn't the meditation. Later on it was. But to start with, the very, very first bit was about me giving myself half an hour, 15 minutes to start with, half an hour every day or every weekday. I didn't do it on the weekends, but every weekday for me. And it was something I hadn't done before. It was something I had not factored in my relationship. I had not given myself that time. Maybe if I had given myself that time early on in the relationship, it wouldn't have got to where it went. There's lots of maybes and there's lots of what ifs that we can go through. The reason we're going through them is because it's a learning curve for us. This is a learning curve for us. This is what we are doing. This is what we're experiencing and this is what we're learning from. I haven't been downstairs. I've got up this morning knowing that I've got to get this podcast done because that's my give back to the world. I want this podcast done. I haven't been downstairs. I brought everything up last night ready to record. I'm standing in my walk-in wardrobe so you don't get all the other noise, and I'm doing that. I don't know whether my partner's gone downstairs. I don't know whether his son is still in our front yard where he's been all night or whether he's gone. I just don't know. And at this stage, I'm not going to even go there. I will do this. I will have a break and I will go back there. So when we're in this crisis situation, there's things that we can do. Now, there's things that we need to do. One is we can meditate, go within and meditate. That's a great way of dealing with it. However, when there's lots of things happening, like there has been over this last couple of weeks, sitting down and doing a passive meditation is just, it just won't work. I would sit there and I would hear the gas bottle going when he's sucking on those little canisters for the nitrous oxide. So I could not do passive meditation. So the way we've been dealing with it is when my partner comes home from work, if I'm home or when I get home from football, we go for a walk. That's our debrief. We go for a walk. We get out there. We're in the night and we just have a walk. It might be half hour, might be longer. We'll decide which way are we going to go, how bad was the day, how long the walk we need. That was our way of coping with it. When I was, I had left my business, I put a manager in my business. I had a natural health therapies business. So I put a manager in there. I rented out my home and basically left all my family and friends and moved down to the Gold Coast to study. I did 3 years full-time study while running three part-time jobs. To start with, I used to go back to where I lived every weekend and work the clinic and then come back home again until eventually it just all died down. So I stayed where I was on the Gold Coast. I did 3 years of uni. Now, I studied a health degree. It was a public health degree and it was about health promotion. I studied that because I felt I wanted to be able to help more people in a bigger arena, whereas the natural therapies clinic was one-on-one, so it was a very small, I could do 5-6 people a day depending on what I was working on, and that was all I could do. I did get more staff in, so I could work. We could work with more people, but I wanted to step it up. I wanted to work in a bigger field. So I left all that, moved 3 hours away, and I started uni. And at the end of uni, when I graduated, and I graduated with very high marks, so I put my heart and soul into it. But 6 months after I graduated, the government changed, and basically the job that I had just spent 3 years, left everything for and spent 3 years studying, was made null and void. It was gone. There was no jobs there. This job was in the public health industry, so it was in the public health arena, and they axed, I think, 2,400 jobs in the health department in Queensland, and most of those, or a lot of those jobs, were to do with public health. They actually farmed them out into the private sector. I was getting all these interviews and couldn't understand why people were beating me because they had more experience when this was a whole new field of work. It was so frustrating. It was so hard to put all that time and effort into something, and I still owe the money for this schooling, and I've never ever worked a day, a paid day, in it. So This was another crisis I was going through. You know, to put your heart and soul into something and it just goes. It was really, really devastating, really hard. So one of the things I did there, I've told you what I did with my marriage. Meditation was my go-to for the marriage. Couldn't do meditation here. Walking, more physical, and debriefing was my go-to here. When uni all finished and I couldn't get a job, my go-to was to get my head out of the woe is me and look at something more positive. And that's when I wrote my book. I started writing my book. I wanted to empower other women with what I was going through. Now, the crazy thing in this is I didn't want to sit there and say, well, this is what I did, so you need to do that. I actually created the flower readings. So it was all about understanding our emotional goals. When we have a goal, I remember going through the corporate side of things, and we have a goal and we have to write out that SMART goal and we have to do it this way and have to do it that way. I used to have these goals and it was like, I know they sound a bit bland, but I just want to be happy. You know, I have a goal whereas I want to help people. You know, I want to help other women. I want to see the smiles on their faces. Now, how do you write that down? The SMART goals that they talk about are really, really analytical. They're really masculine dominated. They're really left brain dominated. So they don't actually take on that emotional aspect to it. So I had emotional goals I wanted to cover up on. I really didn't care what I did so much as what the impact of what I did was on the people around me. So I wrote my book, and my book's called Intuitive Flowers, Empowering Your Emotional Goals. In all honesty, the book is all about how to do flower readings. And you do a flower reading because flowers are our goals. Flowers are our goals in life. Trees, you've heard of the Tree of Life. We do tree drawings. There's teacups. You can do teacup reading, tea leaf reading, card reading. There's all sorts of readings to help us get through. But I found that the flowers were more like a goal. It's a goal that we're trying to reach. And because it's a neutral, if we've got emotional goals are not neutral. Emotional goals are very emotional. But a flower is a neutral image. So we have an emotional goal and then we have a neutral image. So one of the things I've done with a lot of the entrepreneurs, especially the women entrepreneurs that I network with, I've said to them, if your business looked like a flower, what sort of flower would it be? And then they might say, oh, it's a sunflower or a carnation, or they might say their flower. And then I'll say to them, okay, find me a picture of that flower. Because when we look at flowers, and you can turn around and say, oh, I love roses, like relationships remind me of roses, but you know how many colours there are in a rose. That's number one. How many colours are there in a rose? How many types of roses are there? We have all different types of roses. And then when you start doing flower readings, you go, okay, in a picture of a flower, of a rose, is the rose up close? Is it the rose open? Is the rose further away? Is it a bud? Has it got a stem? Is there leaves with it? What's the background look like? What's the image look like? Is it a portrait? Is it a landscape? And we go through all these different elements to help us understand what our intuition is telling us about our emotional goal. My emotional goal for my business ended up having huge, big, round leaves on it. Now, the leaves are our guides. For me to be able to achieve my emotional goals, I needed to work with women. And it was showing me that my intuition was picking that image to tell me what I needed to hear. And that's how I do the flower reading. When I first started this podcast this morning, my attitude, well, because I haven't written anything down this time because my head's been all over the place, I just haven't been able to think. My thoughts were, I'm just going to tell you what's happening. I can't think. I can't do a podcast for you. And I was just going to read you one chapter of my book, my flower book. I was going to read you the introduction of why I wrote the flowers, why I wrote the book, what it means and what it was all about. But I've run out of time. I can't believe that I've actually talked this long and I still didn't do what I thought I was going to do. That's me just following my gut. So with all this, with intuition in a crisis situation, when we do get to know ourselves, when we do start to connect with our intuition, we start to get an understanding of what it is we need to do to get through a situation. What is it that we need to do? In my first situation, I did a lot of meditation. I couldn't do meditation now. The noise just wouldn't allow it. The things that were going on at home would not allow me to do a passive meditation, a sit down, an om. I needed to do an active meditation. So it was, and we called it our debrief. We call it our weekly, our daily debrief. So my partner would come home from work, I'd pack up the computer, and we'd just go for a walk. And we'd walk furthest if it was a bad day, and a short one if it was not so bad day. So that was how we dealt with it. When I dealt with it with uni and not being able to get a job, I wrote a book. I put my head into a different space, and I could just evolve around that space. It's really easy to go into that overwhelm. It's really easy to go into that depression and that side of it. We have to change our way. So I started to write a book. I started to really connect with my intuition and give myself that space and time. And I can assure you, when I was writing that book, when I was getting into it, time just disappeared. I don't know what happened. It just disappeared. And I mean, it took me 3 years to write, because there was a lot of research and a lot of understanding behind it, a lot of analytical stuff to it, which is quite strange. But that's how I got through that. Now, we all have our crises. It's knowing how you respond to it. It's knowing what you do. A knee-jerk reaction will often be coming from the ego, that first physical hit. The spirit needs to absorb it a little bit differently and understand what the best outcome is or the best tracking is. If you're going to, you know, it's just about you giving yourself that space and that time. You giving yourself the space and time to react and respond accordingly, not to just do this knee-jerk lash out. So sit back if you can and wait. Allow that right decision to come forward from your intuition. Okay, allow it to come through. So that's my crisis. I've got to go, because I've got to go and get rid of all the ums and ahs out of this I don't want you to hear. and that takes a couple of hours, and then get it posted, get it up so for you. But if you do want to get more understanding or tools for trusting your intuition, subscribe to the podcast, follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or jump onto the website. www.intuitivenature.com.au. It is an Australian business, so it's got the AU at the end. And check out the blogs and free resources. I've got a Facebook group called Emotional Mastery. Of course, with everything happening, I'm sorry, not interacting very well with that at the moment. Please forgive me, but I will get there. And just remember, we are all naturally intuitive. It's part of human nature. It's our intuitive nature. So use your intuition to make the right decisions for you. That's what you need to do. And when they're the right decisions for you, they will be the right decisions for everyone around you. I'm Susan Jane, Intuitist from Intuitive Nature, and I thank you for listening. Bye for now.